Good morning. Today's daf from Pesachim Pei Gimel. We are in Pei Beis Amud Beis. We're starting today at the two dots. If I could just make up one thing from yesterday, or one quick addition to yesterday's daf. On Pei Beis Amud Aleph, so we went over a Mishnah in Tamid. The Mishnah in Tamid goes over the Rosh Amamid, where any Kohen that was Tamid, so we put him by the Shaar Mizrach, by the Eastern Gate, and the Machlokas Amarayim, why exactly they would do that. So Rav Yosef says, Kadei Levayshan, and Rava says, Mibnei Achshad, because we're worried about him doing some sort of... if he doesn't show up, people are going to think that he's lazy and he didn't want to do the avoda. So the that was the gemara yesterday, and then I ran to the Mishnah. And meanwhile, what I failed to do yesterday is I didn't mention that the gemara actually has nafka min between these two reasons. And I was chazuring the gemara yesterday, and I realized I didn't do the nafka min. So if I may, just quickly go run through the nafka min of the gemara from yesterday. My benayu. The Gemara wants to know what's the difference between these two reasons. So the Gemara says, Zika, by now, you know, there is a difference. So Mifanke, so the Gemara, so one Nafkamin is going to be a Mifunuk. So everybody knows that this particular Kohen is not going to be foregoing the voter to do some sort of work. So there's no Chshad issue. But there's still going to be an issue of being mevaish them, of embarrassing them, so that they should be more careful in the future. So that's one nafka. Gadol shishura, or the Gemara says, or maybe their work is a work that is extraordinarily, Rashi describes it as being a umnus kala. It's not a particularly skilled labor. The amount of money they're going to make is really not that much as well. And Rashi says the people are really not going to suspect that he's going to forgo that job that doesn't really earn a lot of money, just so that he wouldn't be doing the avoda. Okay. Anyway, yesterday bothered me as I was chazering the gemara that I skipped a couple lines. Should bother me. Anyway, the gemara, the pay bezim and bays, we're picking up yesterday. Nidmu abalam shemesa tu bar tzura's son. So, we had our mishnah. Our mishnah yesterday talked, we had a couple mishnahs yesterday. The mishnah yesterday, second mishnah yesterday in Pei Beis Amud Aleph, talked about the proper disposal of a carbon that becomes disqualified. The mishnah says that if the carbon pesach underwent a psul of yotzei or tuma, so you serve miyad. So it's because the disqualification, the psul of the carbon is inherent, so you burn the carbon right away. However, nidmu abal mishamesu tu batzer esav yisarv bishisha asar. If, however, the disqualification is something external, meaning, let's say, for example, the owner of the carbon becomes tamei, or the owner of the carbon dies, so at that point in time now, we don't yet have an intrinsic psul in the carbon. So what are you supposed to do at that point in time? So you're supposed to have it develop an intrinsic psul, and that is ibur tzura. Ibur tzura literally means it should be defaced, but it means, as Rashi explains, you lay it overnight, so now it becomes nosar, now it has an intrinsic psul, a psul hashabaguf, and now you burn it. Now it happens to be that in this particular circumstance, you don't burn it the next morning, because the next morning is Yantiv, and you're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yantiv, right? Rashi quotes, Ein Storfen Kachim on Yantiv. So therefore, what you're going to do is you're going to simply hold it off until the first morning, or the first evening, I should say, of Chol HaMoed. So Yisarv B'Shisha Asar. And Rav Yochanan ben Broka says that Avze Yisarv Miyad Lefi Shein Lo Ochlin. So Rav Yochanan ben Broka said, you have a carbon pesach without a consumer? Oh, that's a significant psul. That's enough of a psul shebegufo regarding the carbon pesach where you're allowed to burn it right away. So that's the machlokas we had in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Whether or not a carbon pesach that lacks consumers, whether that qualifies as a psul shebegufo or does not qualify as a psul shebegufo. Amar Rav Yosef. This is where we left off yesterday. This is where we're picking it up on this machlokas that we just went over. Amar Rav Yosef machlokas shenidmu balim achar zrika. So we're talking about where the owners become tamei after the zrika. Dischazei basal achila. Because that means to say that for a moment, immediately after zrika, it was eligible to be eaten. Aval nidmu balim lifnei zrika. But let's say the owners of the carbon become tamei before zrika. Delo ischazu basal achila. So, and there was not a moment in time where the meat was consumable. The zrika sadam is the matir. And if the owners become tummy before the zrika, that means to say that they became tummy before the carbon was eligible to eat. Once you do the zrika, the owners already were tummy. So you don't have a consumer. So what Rav Yossi wants to argue is divrei hakol, yisarf miyad. So then what we have in our mishnah is going to be agreement. Even the Tanakhama would say under those circumstances, that's considered a psul shebegufo. So this is the first version of how Rav Yosef wants to limit the machlokas of our Mishnah. So Meisvei, the Gemara immediately challenges. Zakla, we have a Braisa. The Braisa says, here's the rule. Kol shepsul begufa yisarf miyad. Bidam uvebalam tu bar tzaras v'yetzei lebeis hasreifa. So here the Braisa tells us the rule that we learned yesterday. That if the psul is intrinsic, so then you burn it immediately. However, if the psul is extrinsic, but the point the Braisa now is making, the examples of extrinsic psul is going to be dam and balam, blood and balam. Armisha talked about balam, here the Braisa talks about dam. And that's external, and therefore you need Ibrit Surah, and then and only then can you burn it. And now the Gemara makes the following comment, ketanim balam domi dam. So you notice in the Braisa over here, not only is the Braisa's example regarding the owner, but also the blood as well. Now, when is there going to be a psul regarding the blood? Madam lifnei zrika, avam lifnei zrika. The only time there could be a disqualification regarding the blood is before zrika, because after the zrika is done, whatever happens to the blood is not going to affect the carbon. Meaning the zrika has been done, kapara has been achieved, the carbon's been matired. So, the only discussion we could be having regarding the dam is lifnei zrika. So if the dam is lifnei zrika, so the balam is also lifnei zrika. So it really throws a wrench into Rav Yosef's thesis. Eleidmar achiitmar. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to modify what Rav Yosef said. So here's what he said. The machlokus of our Mishnah is where the owners become tamei before zrika, where at that point in time, the basar never had a shas heter. But if it was sprinkled la'achar zrika, where now that means to say that there was a period in time where you could eat the carbon. Under those circumstances, so everyone agrees, meaning here in Rav Yosef's limitation of the machlokus of our Mishnah, now where there was a shas heter of the carbon because the tumah occurred after zrika, so he wants to argue that in that case, divrei hakol, that's considered a external disqualification of my ibrit zura, and therefore there's a requirement of ibrit zura. And even Rav Yochanan ben Brokun, in that case, would say, yeah, that's not intrinsic, that is external. That is that's Rav Yosef's modified, revised understanding of the machlokus between the Tanakhama of our Mishnah and Rav Yochanan ben Brokun. Good, that's all Rav Yosef. Rav Yochanan amar aflach hazrika nami machlokus. And Rav Yochanan says, no, the machlokus in our Mishnah is even after Zrika. Even though there was a Shas Heter, even though there was a moment in time where the carbon was edible, if the owners of a carbon Pesach become Tamei, even if it's after Zrika, still Rav Yochanan ben Brokun says that's an intrinsic psul in the carbon. V'azer Rav Yochanan Tamei, and now Rav Yochanan over here has been consistent. Damer Rav Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan made the following comment. And that is Rav Yochanan ben Brokun, Rav Nechemya, Amru Dever Echad. Rav Yochanan strings together the two positions of Rav Yochanan ben Brokun and Rabbi Nechemya. They are both operating with the same svara. So we're going to learn these two Tanaim. We're going to see what the common denominator svara is. And we're going to see that Rav Yochanan over here obviously feels that, according to Rav Yochanan ben Brokun, even if the tumah occurs la'achar zrika, that's considered intrinsic enough where you can burn the carbon right away. Rav Yochanan ben Brokun hadamar. So we don't need an introduction of Rav Yochanan ben Brokun. That's mamish what we've been discussing. So Rav Nechemya ma'i, but what is the sheet of Rav Nechemya? D'tanya. Rav Nechemya omer min me'aninus nisrafazu. So why did Aaron HaKohen burn the carbon chatas? Let's go back to what we learned yesterday. On the first day of Nisan, on the Chanukah HaMishkan, on the inauguration of the Mishkan, so a lot was going on, including Rachmanis, the loss of Aaron HaKohen's two sons, Nadav and Avihu. As a result of that, so Aaron felt that he was not able to eat all the karbanos. And one of the karbanos they didn't eat, there were three karban chatzos that were brought that day. One was the standard karban chatzos for Rosh Chodesh, right? Wonderful coincidence, today's Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh Adar, or we're off by a month, but the one chatos for Rosh Chodesh, but then there were two other chatos that were brought specific to Hakamas HaMishkan, to the first day of the Mishkan. And Aaron didn't eat one of the carbon chatoses, and he burnt it. Moshe was very upset with him, and they went back and forth in the Chumash. And we already went through this in yesterday's daf, and we get to Chazor again in today's daf, because right now we're learning a sheet of Reb Nechemya. Why didn't Aaron eat it? So Reb Nechemya says he didn't eat it because Aaron was in a state of aninus, meaning he lost his two sons on that very day. So mibnei aninus and nisrafazu lekach namar keila. So and that's why Aaron was trying to explain to Moshe keila, meaning the following happened to me. Well, the Torah is not masbir, but according to Rabbi Nechemiah, what happened to him is he was a nonin, and that's why he didn't eat the carbon chatos. Now, aninos, vis-a-vis a carbon. So is that intrinsic to the carbon? No, it's external to the carbon. That's exactly the Gemara's point. V'ha aninos kalachas rika havya. So as far as aninos is concerned, that would be a similar type disqualification as, let's say, the owners being unable to eat a lachas rika, meaning there was a shas heter, and then after zrika, tuma occurs. So over here by Aaron a Kohen. So the carbon was offered, and then Aaron becomes an onin. So it's an external psul. And meanwhile, the chistarif, l'altar yistarif. And meanwhile, when did they burn the carbon chatos? They burnt it immediately. It was clear in the psukim, clear in the context of the psukim that they burned it immediately. So you see over here that you can have something that would seemingly be something external to the carbon, and yet, it's, the strafe was done immediately. That's the position regarding Rav Nechemiah, regarding Aaron and the strafe of the carbon chatos that was done immediately. That's connected to the shita of Yochem and Broca here in Psachim regarding after the Zrikas Adam, the owner becomes Tameh. And you could have viewed that as external. And Rav Yochem and Broca says, no, that's considered something with it, which is intrinsic. Good. Ad Kan, that takes us now to the end of yesterday's daf. We're not done with this particular sugya, but that's, we are now in the very top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph Rabba Mosif. Now Rabba says, look, Rav Yochanan, you strung together two tonight. You put together the shitas of Rav Yochanan and Broca and Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabba says, you know what? I would like to add a third to the list. Mosif Af Rav Yosef Aglili. So Rabba now wants to add to this list of Tanayim, who are all of the position that you can have a psul that occurs to a carbon. That would be external to the carbon, and yet Srefa occurs immediately, and Rav Yosef Aglili could be added to that list. That would make it now three Tanayim. The Tanya, now what is the sheet of Rav Yosef Aglili? So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Rav Yosef Aglili Omer kol inyan kulo enu medaber ela bepar manisrafim uvisi'irim hanisrafim. Vis-a-vis the deliberation that occurs between Aaron and Moshe, they were not talking about a standard chatas that's done on the Mizbech HaChitzona, but rather they're talking about a carbon chatas that is offered on the inner Mizbech. There are a certain number of carbon chatases that are done where the blood is sprinkled in the Heichal and sprinkled on the Mizbech HaPnimi. For example, Parhalim Davashal Tzibor, as an example of what's called a Chatas HaPnimis. And according to Rav Yosef Aglili, that was the back and forth between Aaron and Moshe. So, Ela B'Parim Nisraf, V'Sirim Nisraf, Lisrof P'suleim Abes Abira. And as far as what the conclusions were over there, is that if, let's say, for example, you have a Chatas HaPnimi that becomes disqualified, so where is it to be burnt? It's to be burnt in the Beis Abira. It's to be burnt in the Azara, not outside of the Azara. Standard Chatas HaPnimis is not to be burnt on the Mizbech HaChitzona, but it's taken out of the Gimel Machanos. It's taken outside of Yerushalayim. However, if it becomes disqualified, so then it's disposal, right? That's what it is. We're burning it in order to dispose it because it's disqualified. So it's to be burnt in the Beis Abira, not outside the Gemal Machanos. The outside the Gemal Machanos is where we would have burned it had it been properly offered. But this was not properly offered. And on top of that, Velitin Lo Sase Al Achila San. And on top of that also, if you go ahead and you were to consume it, so there's a lot of attitude to it as well. Okay. Now, quite frankly, that has nothing to do with what our discussion is. But as we're going to see, let's go further into the Braisa, and we're going to see what its connection is to our discussion. Amru lo, they say to Rav Yosef Aglili, chatos shenichnas dama lefnei velefnim, minayin. Okay, good. So you think that was the back and forth between Moshe and Aaron. So now let's go back to our discussion, meaning a standard chatos. So where's your source for a standard chatos? So Amru lem, so he says back to him, hein lo yuvaz dama. So he says it's based on the excerpts of that exchange where it says Hainlo huva azdama ela kodesh penima mechlal di inafik ihi inami ayol dama b'sreifa, which would indicate that if it were to be taken in, meaning the blood of a chatas achitzon, a standard carbon chatas, were to be taken into the heichal, or if the blood was to be taken outside of the azara, so then it would be subject to sreifa. And now what do we see over here? That we have a chatas, And we're talking not about the meat of the chatas, we're talking about the blood of the chatas. At this point in time, what we think right now is that a psul that occurs with the blood of a carbon chatas, it's not something intrinsic to the carbon, it's something external of the carbon, and yet a disqualification in the blood is going to result in immediate sreifa. Okay, so that's what Rabba's thinking, that Rav Yossi Aglili now could be added to our list. To which the Gemara says, okay, Rav Yochanan knows the Shita Rav Yossi Aglili. Rav Yochanan is not going to add that to his list, and for a very simple reason. As the Gemara now goes over, V'Rav Yochanan Savar Dama Basar Chana Milsehi. So Baalim Milsa Chrisehi. So Rav Yochanan says, you really have to go over what is considered internal, intrinsic, and what is external. So when we're talking about a carbon and its owner, and a disqualification occurs to the owner, that's external. That is something that is not guf hakarbon. But when you're talking about the dam of a carbon, the dam of a carbon is absolutely something which is intrinsic to the carbon itself. And a psul occurs to the dam, that's considered as if a psul occurred to the carbon. The dam and the basar of the carbon are part and parcel of the same entity. And so that's not considered a psul outside of the guf, that's considered a psul shebegufo. Okay. So, and that's why Rav Yochanan doesn't add Rav Yossi Aglili to his list of tanaim who hold. That is something that occurs to a carbon, a psul that occurs outside of the carbon, still the carbon is going to be burnt immediately. So Rav Yochanan's short list is only going to be Rav Yochanan ben Broka of our Mishnah here in Psachim and the Shita of Reb Nechemya regarding his understanding of the back and forth between Aaron and Moshe. Adkan, that takes us now to the Mishnah. We're on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. We're starting with the Mishnah, which is going to be taking us through the remainder of today's daf. Yitzhak Hashem, we're going to go from station to station. We're going to get to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah over here discusses how Tzamos Vaginim Anosar Yisrufu B'Shisha Asar. So as far as what is to be burned, bones are to be burned, sinews are to be burned, Nosar is to be burned, but all on the 16th day of Nisan. Again, we're going to reiterate a point that we made yesterday, that we made already this morning, and that is that you're not going to be burning it on the 15th, even though on the 15th it's already Tznosar, but you're not going to be burning the 15th because the 15th also happens to be Yontif. And Ein Sorf and Kashim be Yontif. So therefore, it's going to be pushed off into the 16th and you burn it on the 16th. Now, Chal Tazan Lios B'Shabbos. Now, let's say the 16th falls on a Shabbos. That means to say that Yontif was on a Friday. So now you have Friday Shabbos. So then Yisrofu B'Yid Zion. So now you're going to have to burn on the 17th. L'fisheina dochin lo osa Shabbos v'lo osa Yontif. Because the burning of Kachem is not going to be overriding neither Yontif nor Shabbos. Okay, so you're now going to wait till the second day of Chol HaMoed in order to burn the Nosar. Now, obviously, what the exciting part of our Mishnah is that what is going to be burnt, so the Atzamos and the Gidim. So that's the exciting part of our Mishnah because, right, the idea that Nosar gets burnt, that's a pasuk in the Torah. Lo sasir mimenu ad boker, v'anosar mimenu ad boker, b'eshti srofu. So the Torah says that we're going to take Nosar and we're going to burn Nosar. So that already the Chumash tells us. But what the Mishnah is telling us, in terms of what else we're going to burn, so we're going to burn bone and we're going to burn sinew. So those are chidushim. Those are exciting parts of the Mishnah. Because the Torah doesn't add that. And in fact, had we not had the Mishnah and we just left it to our own devices, if I had my own device, right, if I thought it through, I would say don't burn bone. Meaning bone is an inedible part of the carbon. Nosar is when you leave over parts of the carbon that you would have eaten. You're not eating the bone. It's true, you're eating the marrow of the bone, but you're not eating the bone itself. So I would have said that bone is not subject to Nosar, and you're not gonna have to burn bone. So that's what I would have suggested. Obviously, now the Mishnah is presenting a tremendous chiddush, and the Gemara jumps right on that. Amar Rav Mari Barvua, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So we're going to be discussing it in a slightly different context, but the point we're going to make is the same. And that is, how do you view bones? So, atzamos kadashim sheshim shenosar, mitamim es yadayim, halvanasa basas ledavar aser. In order to understand the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, so just a little bit of background. And that is nosar. What is nosar? So nosar is any carbon that's left over. The consumption of nosar, somebody goes ahead and eats nosar. So that's a avera chamura. It's a serious avera. Subject to karis. It's one of the 36 of the Mishnah in the first Mishnah in Krisus, where if you eat Nosar, so you're going to be subject to Kari. So it is a most serious Avera. Not only is Nosar, they're going to be an Isra Achila, but there's going to be Tumah by Nosar as well. Now that's not Mid-Araisa. Mid-Araisa, there's no Tumah by Nosar. Nosar is an Isra Achila. Yet what the Chachamim wanted to do is they wanted to discourage the Kohanim from leaving over any Nosar. So the fact that the Torah prohibits it, the fact that it's Aser, it's an Isser Kares, you would think that already is discouragement enough. However, when it comes to the Kohanim, as far as their view of Tuma, so Tuma was a charged issue. Meaning when something was Tameh in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim stayed far away from it. Okay? Don't understand so much the psychology of it, but that was in fact the case. That when something was Tameh, the Kohanim stayed far away from it. The Chachamim understanding that, so the Chachamim said, you know what? So now we are going to put Gzeira Tuma on the Nosar. So now when it's Nosar, not only is it going to be Nosar, but it's also going to be Tameh as well. And that's going to really discourage the Kohanim from leaving over any Nosar, knowing that Nosar now is going to be Tameh. Okay, so that was a Tuma de Rabbanan that was imposed by the Chachamim on the Nosar to help further discourage the Kohanim from leaving over Nosar. Okay, good. Now, with that stated, so now let's go back and let's reread Rabbi Yitzchak, and now we're going to understand a lot better. Atzamas kachem sheshachtu, I'm sorry, sheshimshu Nosar. So let's say you have the bone of a karban. We're not talking about the karban Pesach right now. We're just talking about karbanos in general. You have the bone of the karban, and it facilitated Nosar, meaning there was marrow in the bone. And the marrow is totally edible. And remember, by all the karbanos, accessing the marrow inside, it's easy because you're allowed to break the bones. So the bones that serviced, that facilitated the noser inside, so those bones as well, the bones are also going to have the status of nosar. Mitamim es hayadayim. The bones are also going to be tameh. Meaning not only is the noser itself, meaning the meat inside the bone going to be tameh with this tumah derabanan, but the bones as well. Hol v'nasa basas ledavar aser. We know basas ledavar aser in the context of muksa. We're borrowing the term, we're applying it over here. These bones are literally the holding pen of the marrow. Since the marrow are going to be nosar and subject to the tumah derabanan, the bones also are going to have that same status and contact with the bones now is going to produce a transmission of Tuma. That is the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. So, name him Isayelei. Now, probably you already figured out. Our Mishnah seems to be a wonderful raya for this Chiddush of Rabbi Yitzchak. Our Mishnah says, Our Mishnah says that when it comes to the Karban Pesach, so the bones together with the sinew and the nosar, you're going to be burning on the 16th. Hani Atzamos Echidami. Bones that are going to be burned on the 16th. What kind of bones are we talking about? Elam adalais bei malach lama bisrefa nishdinu. Why are you going to burn the bones? You know what you do with these bones if they don't have marrow in them? You throw them away. The bones by themselves, meaning if it's bones that have no marrow inside of them, so it's not nosar. It's called bones, and that does not have the status of nosar. It can't be what the Mishnah is describing. Elapshita disbu malach. It's clearly talking about bones that have marrow inside. So now, this is it. This is what's called Shimush Nosar. Something which facilitated the Nosar. Something which was the holding block of Nosar. So if you're saying that that's significant and that has status, so Amatulachi by Israfa, perfect. Now I understand why I have to burn the bones. So Elayim, Archimish Nosar, La Milsahi, La Malu Israfa, Nitbarinu, Vinachalza, La Mawachdidu, Vinisrafa, Vinishinaladidu. But if the bones themselves, even though they encase the marrow, but if the bones don't have any status, so the Gemara says, I got a really simple idea. And that is, break the bones, remove the nosar from inside the bones, and discard the bones. And if I can also add, I'm sure it is really difficult to burn bones. Bones are very hard. And it would be a tremendous relief to the Kohanim if they didn't have to burn bones. So what our Mishnah seems to clearly do is support this Chiddush of Rabbi Yitzchak. That when you have bones that were encasing marrow, so not only is the marrow nosar that was left over, but the bones that encased it are also going to be nosar, and that's why the bones require Israfa. And this seems to be a really good proof for Rabbi Yitzchak. So El Alav Shemamina, Shemesh Nosar Milsehi. So it seems pretty clear from our Mishnah that a Mishamish Nosar, something that serves Nosar, the bones that encase the marrow, so they have the status of Nosar, and that's why they require Israfa. It seems to be a really simple and good Pshat in our Mishnah. It seems to be a really good support for Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, you've been with us with the Daf long enough, you know that the Gemara only finds a proof to be good proof. It is if it's absolute and definitive. But the Gemara over here deflects. Amru lo, amri lo. Then the base measures, they said, no, the proof is not such a good proof. Really, Shemesh Nosar is not significant because of her. Bo bekasher v'afilu bepasol. So, and the reason why we're not going to be able to break the bones and extract the marrow is for the following reason. Because we know that by the Karban Pesach, we have a unique halacha that applies to Karban Pesach that doesn't apply to any of the other karbanos. And that is etzem lo sish berubo. You're not allowed to break the bone of the Karban Pesach. And here's now what we're going to say as a chiddush. And it's a chiddush. And that is that this is for breaking the bone. Not only if the Karban Pesach is kasher, but even if the Karban Pesach is pasul, you're not allowed to break the bones. So the bones don't have to be burnt for, because the bones have gained a status. That's not the pshan, the Mishnah. The bones have to be burnt simply because the marrow inside needs to be burnt. We can't break the bones because of the isser of etzem lo sish berubo. And that isser includes even a bone that is, even after the carbon's been disqualified. Meaning the marrow inside is no sir. Okay. So that's what we're trying to suggest as a pshat in our Mishnah. And if that's true, so then no longer is our Mishnah going to be serving as a support for the Chiddush or Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, really? You think that's right? You think that the Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo is when the carbon is already possible? V'hatnan. We're going to see this in tomorrow's daf from Yirtzeh Hashem. Aval Amosi Betar V'Hashavar B'Tameh Eino Sofik Ezarabayim. The Mishnah says that if you leave over Tahor, or if you break the bones of a Tameh, leave out the first part of that Mishnah, we're going to go over tomorrow. If you break the bone of a carbon that's Tameh Eino Sofik Ezarabayim, you're not going to be subject to Malkus. There is no Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo if the carbon's Tameh. That's the Mishnah in tomorrow's daf. So how can you tell me that the Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo is going to be true when the carbon is pasul? The Mishnah Tamar's daf says it's not true. So lo kasha, kansha isa lo shasa kosher, kansha in lo shasa, kansha lo isa lo shasa kosher. So the Gemara says, well, sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not true. If the carbon had a shasa kosher, so then here's what we're going to say. Meaning, the dam was Nizrak correctly, and now the carbon for a moment was eligible, and then afterwards the carbon becomes Tameh. Under those circumstances where there was a Shasa Kosher for the carbon, so then the Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo would apply, even if the carbon subsequently becomes disqualified. Masha Enkein, if the carbon becomes disqualified from its point of origin, meaning before Zrikas Adam, the carbon becomes disqualified, so then there's no Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo. Umantan, Deshanali, Ben Shaisa Lo Shasa Kosher, Lo Haisa Lo Shasa Kosher, Rabbi Yaakov. Now, in order to support this understanding, so we have to say that it's going like Rabbi Yaakov. The time you hear the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Etzem Lo Sish Berubo, Bo Bekashav Lo Bepasol. According to the Tanakhama, the Isser in the Torah of not breaking the bone of the Karban Pesach is only for a Karban Pesach Kasher, not for a Pasol. It's derived from the fact that the Torah says Etzem Lo Sish Berubo. You're not allowed to break the bones of this Karban Pesach, which is clearly a miut, and according to the Tanakhama, it's excluding a carbon that's pasul. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Amar, Haisa lo shasa kosher, and v'nifsa yesh bo mishum shvira sa'etzim. Lo haisa lo shasa kosher, ein bo mishum shvira sa'etzim. And then the Braisa introduces us to the Shita Rabbi Yaakov, making this distinction of whether or not the carbon had a time of eligibility versus when it didn't have a time of eligibility. And Rabbi Shimon Amar, echazeh v'echazeh, ein bo mishum shvira sa'etzim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, no. In both cases, there's no iser of shvira sa'etzim, whether it did or did not have a shasa kosher. Which sounds like Rabbi Shimon's really reiterating the position of the Tanakhama, but okay, but not for now. Anyway, so the point is that there is two types of Karban Pesach that are pasul. One is going to be subject to the Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo, one is not. Again, according to Rabbi Yaakov, if it had a Shasa Kosher and then subsequently becomes pasul, it will be subject to Etzem Lo Sish Berubo. If it did not have a Shasa Kosher, so then it's not going to be subject to Etzem Lo Sish Berubo. And good. And now what we could do is we could deflect our Mishnah, which says that you have to burn the bones. It's not because the bones service the nosar, and therefore the bones obtain the status of the nosar. That was Rav Yitzchak, that was his chiddush, but you don't have to say that in our Mishnah. That what you could simply say in our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is talking about a Karban Pesach that had a Shasa Kosher, then becomes pasul, and the reason why I have to burn the bones is because I can't break the bones. That's all. That would be the pshat in our Mishnah. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges based on the following braisa. So again, we are learning a chiddush of Rav Yitzchak, that when you have a shemesh nosar, something, a bone that serves nosar, so the bone itself is going to have the same status as the nosar itself, and according to Rabbi Yitzchak, the bone is going to be subject to tumas, to the tumah derabanan. Okay. The Gemara challenges with the following braisa. Kol atzamas hakadoshim ein teunim sreifa. All the bones of karbanos do not require sreifa. Chutz me'atzmas ha-pesach mimnei ha-takala. But the bones of the karban pesach do require burning because of takala. Now the Gemara says, let's understand what's happening over here. Hani atzamas hechidami. So we need a little bit of help over here. What kind of bones are we talking about? Elam adalais bum mawach. Are we talking about bones without marrow? Lamalu sreifa. Yeah, bones without marrow don't require sreifa. So alapshita disbe moach. The only reason why we're having a conversation about burning the bones is because they had marrow, clearly. Isa gadachashimash no samilsehi. Atamas kadasha mamayin tunis sreifa. So now, Rabbi Yitzchak, you're gonna really be painted into a corner. Because over here in the Braisa, we are clearly making a distinction between the bones of carbon pesach and the bones of any other carbon. The bones of carbon pesach, they have to be burnt. The bones of any other carbon do not have to be burnt. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak, if you're right, that shimush nosar milsehi, that something that encases nosar is going to gain the same status, well, if the nosar inside the bones is obviously nosar, I mean, by its very definition, then the bones encasing it are also going to be nosar. And it then would not make a difference whether we're talking about carbon pesach or we're talking about any other carbon. You need to burn the bones. And by virtue of the fact that the Braisa makes a distinction between the two, it's a raya brura that that shimush nosar is not considered nosar. Okay? And the reason why, you have to burn the bones of the carbon pesach is because, by the carbon pesach, if we didn't burn the bones, asi lidei takala. Well, what's going to end up happening is that we're going to very possibly violate Nisr. And that's why we're going to have to burn the bones specifically of the Karban Pesach. So this Braisa is very difficult for Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So the Gemara is going to give a couple ways of defending Rabbi Yitzchak. Hachaba Maiskin, and that is that we're going to localize the Braisa. We're going to limit the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a particular case of circumstances. What's the circumstances of the Braisa? Hachaba Maiskin, and Kigon Shematzim Chalutzim. It happens to be that the bones were found broken. Atzamos kadosh neima mishum shvir sayetzem. Kami dina havi nosar, chaltsina v'lo havi shimish nosar. So here's what we're going to say. That when it comes to carbonus in general, where there's no issue of breaking the bones. So when were the bones broken? The bones were broken prior to the marrow inside becoming nosar. Right? Remember, when you shechted the carbon, obviously the marrow inside was not nosar. The marrow inside only becomes nosar, right? After its time of expiration. Right? By carbon chatzas, it's after the night. Right, the night that follows the day of when you shechted, when's the carbon shlamim? So it's the following night, it's the second night, whatever the case is. Meaning the point is that by regular carbonos, so it's very possible that the bones were broken before the nosar inside becomes nosar. And so therefore, it was not mishamish nosar. It didn't encase the nosar. And that's why over there, you don't have to burn the bones. V'loba yisreifat samos. However, a pesach tiyesh by mishim shvir sayatzim. But when it comes to carbon pesach, so we know, excuse me. But when it comes to the carbon pesach, the yeshbam shvir sa'atzim, there's an issue to breaking the bones. The basa didn't have a nosar. Who? The chalsina. So when were the bones breaking? Presumably the bones were breaking after it becomes nosar. Because before nosar, who's breaking the bones of the carbon pesach? It's an issue to break the bones of the carbon pesach. Vavlu shimish nosar by sreifa. Which means that at the time where the marrow inside becomes nosar, the bones encase the nosar. And therefore, it is mishamish nosar. The bones were now servicing the nosar. And therefore, the bones have the status of nosar. And that's why they require sreifa. That's one way to explain the braisa. And that would be a good defense of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara gives a second defense of Rabbi Yitzchak. As we now turn to the top of Pegim Amid Beis, I'll give you another example of what the Braisa could be describing. You find these piles of bones, and some of them are broken. Rashi describes the top ones as being broken, and so now, if the top bones are broken, so when it comes to carbonus in general, so we don't have to start excavating, we don't have to start digging out the other bones. All the bones were broken. And so therefore, we can assume that somebody sucked out the marrow from all the bones. And therefore, we don't have to start rummaging through the bones to see, maybe there's broken bones. Maybe there's unbroken bones, and maybe there's marrow in the unbroken bones. But at some of the Pesach, the Yesh by Mishum Shvir Sa'atzim. But when you're talking about the bones of the Karm Pesach, where there's an Isser, so Demahani Dechatzinu Lahanach Lo Chatzinu Ba'is Reifa. So there I would have made a really simple argument that, yeah, there are broken bones on the top, but that doesn't mean all the bones are broken. There's an Isser to break bones. Maybe the bones underneath are unbroken. And I'm going to have to start rummaging through all the bones to see which bones are unbroken. Because the unbroken broken bones are going to require sreifa. That could be what the Braisa, the distinction the Braisa is making, but in both the defense of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and the defense of Rav Zvid, so what we're suggesting is that the Braisa is circumstantial, but in general, Shimush Noser is in fact considered Noser. Adkan, that takes us to the first part of our sugya, of whether or not bone that encases Noser is going to have the status of Noser. Rav Yitzchak says it does. And then a discussion that occurs in the Gemara in terms of whether or not his position can be supported by Mishnayos or upended by a Braisa. Next part of today's discussion. Amar v'Yehuda Amar Rav. Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Six lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues now with a new discussion for this morning. Kol Aginim Basar Chutz Megidei Tzavar. Okay, as far as eating sinews are concerned. So what status do sinews have? So the Rav tells us that all sinews are going to be having a status of basar, with exception to gidei tzavar. The sinews that are running up and down the neck, so they're really hard, they're really inedible, and therefore they don't have the status of basar. Good. That is a chiddush of Rav. Now, I say sinews. Gidin is a little bit more of a broader definition. Gidin are basically tendons, sinews, right? Anything which is not a softer muscle that's able to be eaten. Also, of course, as we know, even a cord of nerves, right, are considered a gid, and hence the gid anasha. So really what we're talking about is basically the harder parts of a carbon. Anything that exists somewhere between the world of muscle and bone, right? So when you have those hard strands, so that falls under the category of gidin. So what we would call, right, sinews or nerves or anything along those lines. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that generally speaking through an animal, so a gid is going to have the status of a basar with exclusion to gidei etzavar, the sinews that are running up and down the neck. Tanan. The Gemara says, okay, let's look at our Mishnah. So our Mishnah says that bones and gidin and nosar are to be burned on the 16th. Hani gidin hechidami. So now a simple question. When our Mishnah talks about the Gidin, so clarification, what is the Mishnah talking about? Elam Gidin Basar. So are we talking about the Gidin Basar Nichlinu? So I got a very simple suggestion, and that is eat it. Right? Well, why are you leaving it over? The Edi Sosar Hainu Nosar. And if you left it over, doesn't it need its own special category in the Mishnah? Just call it Nosar. Meaning if it was Basar, it's Nosar. And the Mishnah actually writes Nosar. So Elapshita Gidin Savar. So now, what is the Mishnah describing when saying Gidin? It must be something special and unique. Oh, so it's Gidei Tzavar. So, Iyamar Bishlam HaBasar Ninu Amatul Achi Bais Reifa. Oh, so the Gemara says, okay. Now, if Gidei Tzavar, the sinews running up and down the neck are in fact considered Basar, so then I understand why it requires Reifa. Eli Amar La Basar Ninu La Malus Reifa. But if it's not Basar and you, Rav, posited that it's not considered Basar, so then why do Reifa with it? It's a strong question. The Gemara is going to give three answers. One, Amar of Chistam. Lo nitzricha ela legid anasha ve'alibad Rav Yehuda. Mishnah is not talking about the gid of the Savar, but rather the Mishnah is talking about the gid anasha according to Rav Yehuda. Ditanya, let's remind ourselves what we learned back in Chulin, in the Perek of gid anasha, Rav Yehuda Armeinu Noga Labachas Vadas Machar Shal Yimin. So Rav Yehuda says that there are two sciatic nerves. Rav Yehuda doesn't say this. The biology is that there are two sciatic nerves running down the animal after having reached the end of the vertebrae, one going down the right thigh and the other one going down the left thigh. Which of them is Aser Min HaTorah? So Machlokus over there amongst the Tanaim. Rav Yehuda says it's one of the two. Now Rav Yehuda says, I believe it's the right one. But Rav Yehuda's not sure about it. So now when Rav Yehuda says, I believe it's the right one, Vahadas Machra'as. So is he saying I'm in a state of doubt and maybe it's the right one, meaning logic would dictate it's the right one? Or did Rav Yehuda mean over there, no, it's definitively the right one? So the Gemara in Chulin over there discusses that very question of what was the intent of Rav Yehuda. But the point over here is that what the Gemara is trying to do is explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about the Gid Hanasha, not the Gid Atzavar. And therefore, it's not a question against Rav. So Vela Tipsha Desvuke Misafka Le Rav Yehuda Di Imisha Pshita Le Haida Terenechle Di Isur Nishte Lamili Sreifa. So the Gemara says, okay. So if you're going to take our Mishnah and be mom in our Mishnah that's talking about the Gid Anasha, so now that and you're saying that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda, so then don't we now know what Rav Yehuda meant? That the right one is that Rav Yehuda meant it's a suffek, because if we knew definitively that the right one is the Gid Anasha and the left one's not a halachic Gid Anasha, so then, the right one you're going to throw away because it's osur, and the left one you're going to eat, and if you don't eat, it's going to be nosar. Meaning, isn't it clear now that Rav Yehuda meant it as a suffix? So I'm Rav Ika Bar Chinana Kagon Shikir Losof Nitarvu. So as a supplement to the first answer, so here's what we could say. Our mission is, in fact, going like Rabbi Yehuda. We're talking about the Gittin Asha. Rabbi Yehuda says that one of the two is Asar. I think it's the right one. And it could very well be that Rabbi Yehuda knows definitively it was the right one. So then why are we burning both of them? Because what happened was that the two of them were taken out of the Karban Pesach. Then they got mixed up. We don't know which one is which. That's the case in the mission where both of them have to be burnt. Okay. That is all answer number one. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Nitzucha Ela L'Shmeino D'Gittin Asha. Rav Ashi says, no, I'll give you another Ukimta of the Mishnah. And we're not talking about the Gittin Asha, we're talking about the fat that surrounds the Gittin Asha. D'Tanya, we learned in a Braisa in Chulin, Shmeino Motav Yisrael Kedoshim Heim B'Nagum Bo Iser. That the fat that surrounds the Gittin Asha, may Iker Hadin is Motar. But the Jewish people, a holy group of people, so they have a minig not to eat the Shamein that surrounds the Gittin Asha. Good. So that is a second way to approach the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah, of course, does not pose any kind of difficulty for the Shita of Rav. And as far as why we're burning it, because of the Minig. Minig Yisrael, not to eat the Shamein Shel Gid. Ravina Amar, this is now going to be a third approach of the Gemara, Bechitzon. We're talking about the exterior Gid. Ukid de Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So there are actually two sciatic nerves running down the thigh, meaning on each side, one that is interior, one that's exterior. The one that is interior, closer to the bone, that's usher, and that there's going to be a liability for eating it. The one that is exterior, closer to the muscle, closer to the skin, so that's going to be usher, but in chayav nalav, meaning it's an isur d'rabbanan, not an isur d'oraisa. So that's the one where the Mishnah is describing that we're going to burn it. Meaning the reason why the Mishnah has to include it is because it's not an isur d'oraisa to eat it. So I would have thought, okay, but we don't eat it because of an isur d'rabbanan. So, but that's exactly the point of the Mishnah, because we don't eat it because of an Issa Durabanan, so therefore it has to be burned. And that's why it gained its own category in our Mishnah. Okay, so our Mishnah does not pose at all a threat to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that Gidin in general are considered Basar, Gidei Tzavar are not considered Basar, and as far as our Mishnah is concerned, basically in three different ways, the Gemara said that our Mishnah is talking about the Gidin Asha, not the Gidin Tzavar. Finally, Chal Tet Zayin. What happens if Shabbos comes out to be a? Sorry, what happens if the 16th day of Nisan comes out to be a Shabbos? So then you'll have a double postponement of burning the Nosar. Meaning, in a regular year, in a typical year of Pesach, if there's any Nosar left over, there's going to be one day postponement because you can't burn the Nosar on Yontif. And if the next day happens to also be Shabbos, so then there's going to be a double day postponement. So the Gemara here wonders, you know, the burning of Nosar is a mitzvah min haTorah. It's a positive commandment of the Torah. The Torah says, Be'ish tisrofu. So now we have a mitzvah sase. Now it's true that there's a lo sase that one's not allowed to violate Yontif, one's not allowed to violate Shabbos, but why don't we say that the essay is going to be docha the lo sase? Now Rashi over here says that we're asking specifically on Yontif. Right? If I'm going to guess correctly, but I'm not saying this definitively, but if I'm going to guess correctly, Rashi says Yontif as opposed to Shabbos because an essay is docha lo sase if we're talking about a standard lo sase, meaning that doesn't have an Issa Kares. Right? That's the Gemara in the beginning of Yavamos. Shabbos, of course, is an Issa Kares. Yontif does not have an Issa Kares. So that's why the Gemara, as Rashi understands over here, really limits this question of essay being docha lo sase specifically to Yontif, not to Shabbos. Okay, anyway, so why don't we say that the burning of the Nosar should be a mitzvah essay overriding the Los essay of Yontif? Okay, good question. So the Gemara gives four answers, and they basically all amount to the same point. Gzeiros HaKasov, meaning the question in of itself is good, and in general we do say essay doch Los essay, but over here we have drushas, four different ways to approach this, but they're basically all speaking to the fact that they are drushas. Drasha number one, Amar Chizkia v'chein tenet debei Chizkia amakra. Lo sasur mimenu ad boker v'anosur mimenu ad boker beish yisrofu. Shein tamalomar ad boker matamalomar ad boker litein lo boker sheini l'sreifa so. The double language boker, where the Torah says the word boker twice, that tells us that here you're going to be burning it not the next morning, but the morning after. Good. That is, so it's a drasha. And according to Abaye, as another drasha, and that is that only the olas of Shabbos can be burned on Shabbos. Only the olas of Yantav can be burned on Yantav. An ola or any karban that has not been offered on Shabbos, not been offered on Yantav, cannot be burned on Shabbos and Yantav. So over here, we're talking about the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach has not been shechted in Yantav. It's shechted prior to the day of Yantav, the 14th day of Nisan. And therefore can't be burned in Yantav. Meaning, again, gzeiros akasav. Rav Amar Amar Kra, hu levado yaseh lachem. In the Pasuk and Parshas Bo, hu velo machshirav. What can be violated on Yantav? Only ochel nefesh, not any machshirin. When we get to Beitza, we'll discuss this in much greater detail. Livado velo mila shelo bezmana haba mikav v'chomer. And livado tells us that mila shelo bezmana cannot override Shabbos, nor can it override Yantav. And we learn that based on a kav v'chomer. Rashi over here goes through the kav v'chomer. If you remember the 19th parak of Shabbos, it's been a while, so you remember the kav v'chomer. It's a little bit intricate, and I'm just going to finish up. Rav Ashi Amar Shabbaton Di Yom Tov Asehu Ve'ein Esei Dochelos Aseh Ve'Aseh. Rav Ashi says that you misunderstand Yantav. You think Yantav is just a lav. It's not true. Yantav is a lav and it's an aseh. We say that an aseh is Dochelos Aseh, but that's only when it's a standalone los aseh. Over here, it's an aseh. And Yontif itself is an essay and a los assay, so therefore the essay of Beis Yisrofu can't override something which is both an essay and a los assay. All right, wonderful. Okay, so sorry about the music. Hopefully you enjoyed it. But anyway, let's quickly review our daf today. Okay, number one, the machlokas in our Mishnah regarding where you have a Karban Pesach where the psul is that the consumers are no longer there, either halachically or physically. So is that a psul shebeguf? So the Tanakhama says it's not. And therefore, in order to burn that carbon, that disqualified carbon, it needs to develop a psul shebeguf, otherwise known as Ibert Surah. According to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, no, that is considered a psul shebeguf. And the Amoraim talk about trying to limit and modify the machlokas between the two. We entertained Rav Yosef's understanding, although we had to revise Rav Yosef. And then we went through Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan says that no, even if the disqualification of the owner were to occur after the Zrika, which means that there was a Shasa Kosher of the Karban, still, if there are no more consumers, according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, that's considered enough of a psul, which would mandate demand the burning of the Karban immediately. Good. And the Gemara points out that Rav Yochanan's consistent because what he did is he strung together Rav Yochanan ben Broka and the Shita of Remi Nechemya. Rabba wanted to add also Rav Yosef Glili to that. And Rav Yochanan says no, because that's, in the case of Rav Yosef Glili, the blood became disqualified, and Rav Yochanan would say, blood is part and parcel of a carbon. That's not an external psul, that's an internal psul. Our topic of discussion that really took us through the majority of today's daf is the Mishnah on Pei Gimel and Aleph, where the Mishnah says that bones and sinews and nosar are to be burned, not on the morning of the 15th when they actually are nosar, but rather delayed to the morning of the 16th. So, and chal tazan lios b'shabbos, yisrufu b'yad zayin. And if the 16th happens to be a Shabbos, so then you're going to burn it on the 17th. Why? Because the burning of nosar is not going to override, not Shabbos and not Yontif. Good. That's our Mishnah. Two topics of discussion in the Gemara. Well, really three. I changed my mind. Three topics. Number one, the big topic of today was Shemesh Nosar. When bones are encasing Nosar, and even though obviously the bones themselves are inedible, but meanwhile they are servicing Nosar, they're holding the Nosar, so do the bones obtain the status of Nosar? Rav Yitzchak says, yes, definitively. Yes, and therefore, they're subject to the Tumah of Nosar. There's a Tumah de Rabbanan imposed on Nosar. The bones encasing the Nosar are also going to be Tameh. And it also helps that our Mishnah says that you have to burn the bones, which also further proves this position, Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara spent a lot of time trying to disprove the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak, and that took us all the way to Pei Gimel Amud Beis. On Pei Gimel Amud Beis, next topic. Sinews in general, is it basar? So Rav Yehuda Merav says yes. Kol hagidim basar. Anything that would fall under the category of gidim are in fact have the status of basar, with notable exception to the sinews that are going up and down the neck. They are just simply too hard, too inedible, and they don't have the status of basar. The Gemara tried to challenge Rav Yehuda Merav based on our Mishnah, but the Gemara says our Mishnah, which does say that the gidim are a separate category and are not just simply nosar, but the Mishnah is talking about the gidanasha. Three different ways of how to present it, but our Mishnah is talking about the Gid Anush and not the Gid Atzavar. And then finally, the last topic of today is that, why don't we say that the burning of Nosar, which is a mitzvah d'araisa, beish tisrofu, why doesn't that override the Yontav? Yontav is a lav, and we have a rule of ese doche lo sase. So why don't we say the mitzvah sase should override the lo sase? And the Gemara basically said four different ways. We have drashas, and the drashas tells us that the mitzvah, in general, yes, the mitzvah sase is doche lo sase, but not in this particular case. Adkan.